Welcome to the Norris Group's Real Estate Radio Show. Hosted by author, investor, hard money lender, and real estate educator, Bruce Norris. Equipping California real estate professionals for tomorrow's challenges.
On Friday, October 16th, the Norris Group proudly presented its 8th annual award-winning black tie event, I Survived Real Estate. An incredible lineup of industry experts joined Bruce Norris to discuss perplexing industry trends, head-scratching legislation, and opportunities emerging for real estate professionals. Proceeds from the event benefited Make-A-Wish and St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. This event could not have been possible without the generous help of the following platinum partners. First Lending Solutions, Housing Wire, the Apartment Owners Association, the San Diego Creative Real Estate Investors Association, Invest Club for Women, MVT Productions, Property Radar, the San Jose Real Estate Investors Association, and White House Catering.
In 1980, I had a unique experience. I was in an audience of about this many people attending a seminar I didn't want to be at because I already thought I knew everything. And there was a gentleman named Jim Rohn who in 3 hours changed my entire life. His dedication to sharing what he could do for other people changed my life and allowed me to see a different way that life could turn out, provide for different things for my family, be proud of what I did, and then also got the bug to share. And so last year we decided that we would create an award in honoring Jim Rohn. We called it the Rohn Award, and Jack Fullerton was the first recipient, and tonight we have a second recipient. Our recipient tonight had a rough start, and I'm very thankful that he shared this story with me. I've known him for a long time, and I didn't know he was an orphan. At 4 months, he was dropped off at an orphanage. And he lived there, he said, till he was 11. But at 8 years old, he had a very important week. His Aunt May came and picked him up for a trip. And she had a Packard. And his brother hogged the back seat and had forced Ward Hannigan to sit in the front seat. And what happened during that week is that him and May connected somehow. And he just had the most delightful week. But there was one particular day where Aunt May looked at Ward and said, Ward Hannigan, I'm not going to worry about you anymore. You're going to grow up to be a great and wealthy man. And Ward said that when he heard that, he never doubted it for a moment. It went to the bone marrow in him, and he faced a lot of tough things. But he always landed on what she had said, and he said, everything's going to be okay. Someday I'm going to be great. And I met Ward taking a class from him. He always teaches one-on-one, and that was my first experience with Ward. And I've known him now for several decades. I've never heard anything bad said about the man, ever. When my son Greg decided he was going to take training about buying trustee sales, I said, well, you got to take Ward's training. I said, to be honest with you, I'd pay $5,000 to him just so you could pick the phone up to call him. Because he's literally the hands-down expert in that field. And if you go to his website, I think there's some significant pieces to the puzzle that get beyond money and get beyond what he has. It's who he is. And there on the website, there's a purpose. And the purpose says to win the hearts, minds, and smiles of real estate entrepreneurs everywhere by truly satisfying their quest to learn how to become financially independent. And then he has 11 values, and I'm going to only mention three that he has there. Number one, be uncompromisingly truthful. I've interviewed him a few times. I always ask him this question. If you have an investor and there's bad news, and he interrupts me, he says, they hear it right away. Bad news travels faster than good news, and that's an honest person. Number seven, never touch dishonest dollars. It's interesting that when you buy at the courthouse steps, there's a nickname for that group, the 40 Thieves. He never was one of them. He always did everything above board. And number 11, give more than what any recipient would reasonably expect to receive. To be honest with you, that's a blueprint to become a great person, not just a wealthy person. And we have a group of people that are on video that Ward would like to say thank you for what you contributed to their life.
My buddy Ward, if there ever was the real deal, it's Ward. He'll fill in the details on how to get the deal across the finish line, and he practices what he preaches.
I just wanted to thank you for being my mentor, my teacher, my friend, and my consultant for lo these many years.
I remember you, Helen, and I having lunch together several years ago, and you being so helpful to me. I was new in investing, and I wanted to thank you for your pearly words of wisdom.
When I first moved out from Chicago, and it's $60,000 to invest, I asked a repairman how to meet somebody that does notes. He recommended you, and it was a wonderful opportunity as a friendship.
One of his greatest successes that anyone can look at is how many lives he's touched, not only in business, but as a friend, and a friend that cares about others and looks out for their best interests.
Ward's always been a loyal friend and a supporter, and he's inspired me when I was down. And he helped me become not only a better investor, but a better person.
Ward, you've been just a great friend and mentor for me over the decade since we've known each other. And I've gone through hundreds of transactions with your help and the lessons that I've learned from you.
You're a great friend and a great mentor and a great person.
A great guy. I appreciate all the years of his help very, very much. I learned an awful lot and was able to pass on all that knowledge to our subscribers as they called in with their questions.
His hands-on title and foreclosure training that Ward and his wife, Maurice, and son Eric have provided hundreds and hundreds of investors with a solid foundation and kind of a rite of passage, really, for a lot of investors.
Thank you for all that you have done for our real estate community. All of the InnoVest alumni gatherings over the years have personally assisted me with a grand network.
Thank you so much for all that you've done over the years.
I took Ward's training in 1988. I think it was the month of August. And since that day, my life has changed tremendously. Not only we've created wealth, we've actually created a family. Ward, you're responsible for that.
I've still been doing real estate. I've been doing it every single day. I love it. And it's provided for our family. It's provided a life that's... This house we bought as a foreclosure. And it's through the original teachings of Ward Hannity.
I think he's been a great example for me and many others of really how to take care of your family and appreciate your family.
Since August of 1988 till this day, he takes my calls. That's a guy that you want on your team.
I'd do anything for this guy. This guy really reached out and helped us, and he is the epitome of what a mentor is.
We originally met in 1984 at a seminar taught by Charlie Dorsey. Since that time, we've become great friends, and I appreciate all the help that you've given to me and all my friends, and I wish you the best in the future.
Ward, you have been an amazing coach. No reason you make a great team. I really admire how you guys love each other, and that shows in your training and how you relate with us. It's just so beautiful.
Ward, I just got to tell you, you know, when it's all said and done, I am going to owe you such a great a debt of gratitude. You really have helped me a lot, and I really needed the help. So, you know, I continue to marvel at your materials, and I really value the mentorship and the friendship.
Ward's the best.
Thanks, Ward.
Thank you, Uncle Ward.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thanks.
Thank you for all the advice you give at SDCIA.
Thank you, Ward. We love you.
It is my pleasure to present to you the second Roney Award to one of the brightest and kindest and greatest mentors that we have in our industry, Ward Hannigan. In a moment, we're going to have a picture of a house. This picture, when it arrives, in any second, will represent what the industry circle has been like since the peak of the market in 2005, all the way till now. In 2006, this is really important because what we're going to talk about tonight is what's next. In 2006, this home sold for $364,000. It's 1,400 square feet in Moreno Valley. In 2009, 3 years later, it sold for $64,000. And in 2015, it's currently pending for $264,000. The definition of market value is the most likely price that'll be arrived at when a buyer and seller, each equally motivated, equally knowledgeable, make an agreement. And then there's a little adder at the end of that, and it says the transaction absent of undue stimulus. So what's undue stimulus? Let's say we had this house pending at 265 and there was no other comps for 265. They were all 240. What an appraiser's job is to look, take a look at that 265 and say, why did 25 grand appear? And what if when he unearthed the transaction, it was a seller carry back loan with 0% interest for 30 years? Would that explain the extra 25 grand? That's undue transactional stimulus. In 2006, this home sold for 364. Did it have transactional undue influence? See, what you just said is important. It didn't have transactional influence. It had systemic influence, which is much more powerful. It got to 364 because of loan programs. And so it didn't have any need for transactional stimulus. There were 10 other comps just like it, and everybody else bought it for the same price. There's another kind of stimulus. It's called reverse stimulus. So in 2009, this same property sold for $64,000. Why did that happen? Because at the time, there were 50 houses for sale for every $1,000 price increment in Riverside and San Bernardino County. So we had reverse stimulus. And 64 grand, 365 turned into $64,000 on the backs of something else that occurred. It's now pending at 265. So here's a question. Does our market have undue stimulus or reverse stimulus? And what's likely to be next? So do we have undue stimulus? What do you think? Is 3.75% undue stimulus? Interest? Yeah, it is. This particular type of home had the concentration and the attention of a group of people called hedge funds. Was that undue stimulus? Okay. Now, do we have any reverse stimulus? We have a lending world that's saying no to a lot of people. And so here we are at 265. It looks like it has potential to go to 100 grand more, but then we have to go back and say, are we going to enjoy that kind of stimulus once again, or will the game be different? And so that's what tonight is about, is to talk about what's going on in the marketplace, what's the likelihood of the direction of the next stimulus. And it should be an interesting evening. We have the right panel. I want to mention that all of the panelists have really dedicated themselves to their industry. They're all spending the night away from home tonight. Not getting paid for that. It's something they do because they are willing to give of their time for this event, but also because this is the kind of people that they've been for years. They've given freely to their industry, and it's a pleasure to have them on the panel. We have David Kittle. David, and I'm going to have Doug Duncan come up next. We're going to have these two gentlemen first, and we'll have next group, and then we'll have all of them together at the end. David Kittle began his mortgage banking career in 1978 with American Fletcher Mortgage Company as a top producing loan officer. He moved to the management side in 86. He opened his own company, Associates Mortgage Group, in 1994 and selling it in 2006. Kittle is Senior Vice President of Federal Solutions for First American Mortgage Solutions, specializing in risk mitigation and analytics, based in Santa Ana, California. He manages the relationships with HUD, Ginnie Mae, the Federal Home Loan Banks, and GSEs. Kittle is past president of the Louisville and Kentucky Mortgage Bankers Association. He's past chairman of MBA's Political Action Committee, MORPAC, and former vice chairman of MBA's Residential Board of Governors. He served on MBA's Board of Directors from 2004 to 2010. And Doug Duncan. Doug is Fannie Mae's vice president and chief economist. He's responsible for managing Fannie Mae's strategy division and economics and mortgage market analysis groups. Prior to joining Fannie Mae, Duncan was senior vice president and chief economist at the Mortgage Bankers Association, recently named one of the country's top four most accurate economists in 2010 by the Wall Street Journal, and named one of Bloomberg Businessweek's 50 most powerful people in real estate. Duncan is a frequent speaker on the national and state economic, housing, and mortgage market conditions. We'd like to welcome both of you up to our panel up here. What's interesting about preparing for these questions is I read and read and read, and then I put maybe 12 or 15 pages of questions together, and I hone them down, and I think I'm all done. And then I get to the room, and I start thinking, and then I have a limo ride, and I start thinking, and I have more handwritten questions than I probably have other questions, but that's the nature of it. And then I'm going to listen to their answers and probably come up with even better questions, I hope. So that's just the nature of it. David, you were with us in 2008, which was a humdinger of a year to have the position that you had. You said that in the following 16 months, how often were you in front of congressional meetings?
14 testimonies in 18 months.
14 testimonies, and into the teeth of quite a headwind, because no one was in the mood to hear much of anything other, maybe just to chew out the industry through you. Is that pretty accurate?
It was a lot of red meat thrown out there.
Okay. Have we passed the vindictive state, and now have we landed in a place that's more constructive? I guess that's the best way to put it.
Oh, it's a lot better environment than it was 7-8 years ago, and it gets better every year as you move past. But if you look at what happened because of that time frame, I don't know how long of an answer you want here, but what came out of that time period is what we're dealing with now, and that's the CFPB, right. Dodd-Frank right. came out of that. And all of those regulations, those onerous regulations, are adding a lot of cost to every loan. And the consumer's paying for it. So it's a tough environment still now. It's not as contentious as it was before, but it is much more costly than it was.
Do you have a lot of participants that just kind of bail and say, I'm going to go do something else?
I did. I mean, I had, that was a joke. I owned all or part of three lending corporations, companies, and three captive title companies over most of my career. And I think I said it, I'm pretty sure that I did the night that I was here 7 years ago, that in that particular environment, I wouldn't invest my own money then or now back and go start my own lending company today in this particular environment. So there's been a lot of consolidation. There's going to be more. And I wouldn't do it again.
Wouldn't do it again right now.
Not right now.
Well, and you also said something that's interesting. The costs are greater. There's also a condensing of what you can make on loans. So you're kind of getting hit on both sides. But one of the biggest fears in lending, isn't it, that you have to buy something back, that you have written a loan that's not perfect?
And you mean the reps and warranties?
Yeah, the reps and warranties.
Yeah. So there's a lot of repurchase going on. Repurchases are less than they have been over the last few years. because of Dodd-Frank and the CFPB, what they want now is we're supposed to make the perfect loan. And that perfect loan means that the loan that, if I can digress just for a second, when I started as a loan officer back in the 70s, we hand-carried everything. We took the loan application. We knew our products. We closed the loan. We had no computers, no cell phones, no iPhones, no fax machines, and closed the loan in 30 days. Okay, and today we're closing the loan in 45 days, and we've got all the technology in the world because everything has been added onto it on top of regulation. So we're having to double, triple, and fourple check everything. So to answer your question, it's a tougher environment than it was before. Closings are taking longer, and the fear of repurchase has put in consolidation in the environment. When you have, and I'll finish with this, our largest players in the marketplace, like a Chase, exiting the FHA market, and there are larger banks doing the same thing because of fear of repurchase or what's going to happen when they make the loan, that gives you the state of our industry right now.
Okay. Doug, when you took a look at the picture and it went through that journey of price, 365 to 64 to 265, you have a sentiment report, basically, that if it was checking sentiment during those eras, it would be very different. So in 2015, when you measure the sentiment in the direction it's heading and if it how it's positive or negative is, what's your take on the consumer and how they feel about real estate?
Well, we survey 1,000 households a month, and there's been a lot of discussion in particular about millennials, the younger households. And very consistently.
So you do it at their mother's house, or I'm only kidding.
Well, we actually, your point being that we have the highest percentage of young people living at home that we've had. We actually surveyed the parents.
Okay. Well, it's pretty easy.
Yeah. We asked them, "Do you love your children? And if so, for how long?" We actually did this, and they said yes for 2 to 5 years. So the story is that one of the effects of the crisis not only affected the prospects of the younger people for employment, and today's 25 to 34-year-olds still have a higher unemployment rate than that same group had 10 years ago, and their median real income is $8,000 lower than that group 10 years ago. So, but the interesting thing was it was also the parents who suffered significant economic damage. So the parents of those 18 to 22-year-olds, 70% of them said this is a good thing they're living at home. A lot of that is their college age. College costs have risen twice as fast as inflation for the last 20 years. So living at home can cut college costs. That's pretty rational and understandable experience.
The Norris Group would like to thank its gold sponsors for supporting I Survived Real Estate. Adrenaline Athletics, Coachella Valley Real Estate Investors Association, Coldwell Banker Town and Country, Elite Auctions, iMortgage, In a Day Development, Inland Valley Association of Realtors, Jennifer Buys Houses, Keller Williams Corona, Keystone CPA, Kukan and Clark, Las Brisas Escrow, L.A. South RIA, Lavis Tax Wealth Management, National RIA, Northern California Real Estate Investors Association, North San Diego Real Estate Investors, Pasadena Phoebe, Pilot Limousine, Orange County Phoebe, Real Wealth Network, Realty 411 Magazine, Resonant Lens Photography, Rick and Leanne Rossiter, Sacramento Real Estate Club, Capital City Wealth Builders, Southern California Chapter of the Appraisal Institute, Sonoka Corporation, Spinnaker Loans, Tri-Counties Association of Realtors, UDirect IRA Services, Weston South Coast Plaza, Wilson Investment Properties, Inc. See isurvivedrealestate.com for event video and sponsor information.
You've been listening to the Norris Group Real Estate Radio Show. For more information on the Norris Group, please visit www.thenorrisgroup.com.